Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're always delighted to have you on board with us as we face the issues each and every day. We face vital, important issues that confront the family, our faith, and the future of our nation. And as we confront them, we do so based on biblical authority. Let me remind you that the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God should be the foundation for all that we do and say in life. Now, I understand that that is antithetical to what most think in society today. You see, many times the decisions are made based on some political ideological bent or some denominational dogma with the rites and rituals and rules and regulations that are not applicable to truth of what the Bible says. So we need to stick to the truth of the Word of God. God's Word is the book of truth. It is the source book of truth. Jesus said to his disciples, John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And to further identify that, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so I refer to the Bible as our truth book. That should be the source of authority for us as we make decisions, as we face issues each and every day. It was George Orwell many years ago that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're finding that to be truth today, that those that will stand for truth, and those in the realm of spiritual leadership, political leadership, societal leadership, if we take a stand for truth, many times we might be standing alone. This is the reason I enjoy so much Jan Hus's statement. Jan Hus was a 15th century church reformer and theologian. It was Jan Hus that said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And I pray that that's what you're doing, ladies and gentlemen, standing on the truth of the Word of God. In our broadcast today, we're going to be dealing with an issue that I believe should be of concern and interest to every American citizen. Whatever state we're in, we should be concerned about what we do in relationship to preserving our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and American history. Yet we find today, ladies and gentlemen, there's an attempt to erase our history through the removal of our historical legacy statues and monuments across America. It's being demanded by the Black Lives Matter today. The Black Lives Matter organization is a notorious organization that has nothing to do with black lives. In fact, if Black Lives Matter really were interested in black lives, they would be marching and demonstrating in front of all of the abortuary clinics, those that are murder clinics, that are trying to destroy the black lives in America. They'd be marching and demonstrating every weekend in Chicago, Baltimore, and L.A. and other places, New York City, where dozens and dozens of lives, mainly black lives, are taken each and every weekend without any interest by Black Lives Matter. But today, they're demanding that we dismantle the police departments. Black Lives Matter is demanding today that all national heritage monuments be removed because they say they're offensive. But I want to set the pace, ladies and gentlemen, before we introduce our guest today. I want to set the pace because as we talk about monuments and statues and what we need to do with them, not only do we have federal law, I believe, that intervenes with that subject, but also biblical rights and laws, if you will. In Joshua, the book of Joshua, the fourth chapter, Let me read you a few verses, and it sets the page for our dogmatic stand today against the removal of monuments. And our mayor just got through doing that without authority from city council and without any legal authority to do so. But in Joshua, the fourth chapter, verse 1 and following, it came to pass when all the people clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people of every tribe, a man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of the Jordan and out of the place where the priest's feet stood 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men that had prepared the children of Israel out of every tribe, a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this, verse 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When ye passed over, the waters of the Jordan was cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial, that is a monument, a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And then in the fourth chapter, the 17th verse and following, it restates that very, very similarly. And it says that it is for a memorial. Verse 20 says, And these 12 stones which they took up of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal, and spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask your fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall tell your children, that knowing, saying that Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God sets the standard that we have memorials and monuments so that we can, in future generations, when our sons and our daughters and our grandkids say, What is that memorial about? What does it represent? What does it stand for? That we can tell them an historic truth of an historic background of the purpose of those monuments and those statutes and what they're for. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, just in the past a couple of days, our mayor, without any authority, by fiat, by a decision to appease the rabble-risers, raisers called the Black Lives Matter, to appease them, a small percentage of the population, about 1 million-plus people in the city of Jacksonville, and I understand about 300 or 400 had signed petitions, and about 50 to 75 were in the gathering in Hemming Park when the mayor said, I hear you, and agreed to march with the Black Lives Matter marchers and the demonstrators, and just the night before had taken down one of the major monuments in our city. So we're going to be talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, erasing history. That telephone number, if you'd like to join in the dialogue and discussion, is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're out of the area code, it's 904-831-0917. And I encourage you to call in and have the dialogue and discussion today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have as our special guest today, one of the favorites of mine. I love him in the Lord. I'm thankful for his stand on principles. I'm thankful for his stand on biblical truth. I'm thankful for his stand as a conservative Republican legislator, the Florida District 1 Representative Mike Hill. Congressman, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, I am delighted that you have taken time. And ladies and gentlemen, our congressman won't be able to spend the whole hour with us today, but as long as he can because of his pressing schedule, and we understand that. But, Congressman, I just need to say a few things further about you and your background, your reputation for our listeners to understand the weight of things that you will be discussing and that we'll be talking about today. Ladies and gentlemen, Congressman Hill, about 10 years, I believe, in the Air Force, and as I have read the bio and the background, major commendations and recommendations and recognitions for his serving in the military. So we're thankful, Congressman, for your service and praise the Lord for what you've done in protecting us as a nation. Congressman Hill is in the 1st District out of Pensacola. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, I've said this many times on this broadcast, when we have a legislator that is from a district, when he votes and when he makes a decision and voting on bills in Tallahassee, it's for all of the state of Florida, though he represents for his district, District 1, out of the Pensacola area. Congressman Hill is married, beautiful family. He has a State Farm insurance agency and loves the Lord and takes the stand on constitutional rights and what we find in our Bill of Rights in particular, and is willing to take the stand. And if I can say this, Congressman, before we get into our dialogue and discussion, ladies and gentlemen, we need to put men like this in office. Congressman Hill doesn't talk about it that much when we're on the broadcast. He's being primaried in August, and I'm going to ask him sometimes during the course of this broadcast to give you the information where you can pull up the website and scoot down to where it says donate. And I'm asking you, ladies and gentlemen, to support Congressman Hill for his reelection. And by pushing that donate button, first and foremost, pray for him. Secondly, support him so that he can run the campaign that would honor God and have him reelected for his position of representing us in the state of Florida. Now, Congressman, with that said, and I wanted to say that because I know sometimes from the standpoint, whether it's you or me, it's difficult for us to talk about ourselves in that sense. But I wanted to let our listeners know what we're talking about. So, Congressman, when it comes to dealing with the monuments and when it comes to dealing with the statutes that we have on a national level, tell us why it's important for us to preserve those and tell us what they represent and what the purpose of that is for.
Yes, and Dr. Youngblood, I think it's also important. I know you never mention it because you and I, being brothers in the Lord, know that it's not important, but I think your audience needs to understand and know that I am a Black American, and that will give some context on how we are speaking on this subject. And let me make sure I make it clear that I am not an African American. I am an American. Right. This is my country. I just happen to be Black. But that being said, I actually introduced legislation two sessions ago to preserve and protect all of our monuments that are throughout the state of Florida. And it, in my bill, I listed not only the Civil War, but 16 other conflicts that we were involved in the state of Florida and as a nation, to where any cenotaph that would be a statue, a monument, a memorial, a flag, or whatever that has been erected in honor of anyone who was a part of that conflict or who is considered an astronaut or a civilian who has been given high honor, that you cannot remove that monument, that you cannot destroy or destruct it call destruction under penalty if you do so. Originally, I requested that it be made a felony, and others said that's much too strong and wanted to change it to a misdemeanor, but I'm not so sure. I like it being a felony if you're going to destroy a monument. The reason why it is so important is, as you read out of the Bible, that a monument is there for us to learn from. It is either our heritage, the good parts are our heritage, and if there is something about it that is not good, we learn from it so that we don't repeat it.
Yes.
And each monument that is lifted, it does raise that question. Whether you're Black, white, or whatever, you see a statue of General Lee and a child asks his father, who is that and what did he stand for? Then an education process can be done. And by the way, I want to say this, General Robert E. Lee was a fine man. He was a Christian, a gentleman, a statesman, and a true leader on a military field and off the military field. And his statue should not be touched.
Absolutely. In fact, for the benefit of our listeners, I'm looking at, it was House Bill 97 that you introduced. And ladies and gentlemen, the problem that we have, this bill was introduced and it should have been passed, but Congressman, you correct me if I'm incorrect, but it was locked down in committee, never allowed to go to the floor to be voted on, and ultimately, I don't know if it was just died as a result of not coming out of committee, or if it was withdrawn as a result of no support. But the bill says the bill to be enacted, an act relating to the monuments and memorials, providing a short title, amending, and it gives all of the subsections it's amending, revising the definition of veteran to include additional periods of military services, et cetera, prohibiting specified activities concerning remembrances of public property. And then, as you said, it goes on to list 16 different categories: the Anglo-Saxon War, the French-Indian War, the American Revolution, the War of 1812, Seminole Wars, Mexican-American Wars, Civil War, Spanish-American War, Mexican Border Period, World War I, Korean, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, the Bay of Pigs invasion, Persian Gulf, Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom, etc. I believe it was 16 total categories of monuments and statutes regarding all of those periods of time. And speak to the issue. I want our listeners to understand some of the process, because I think most of the time, most people do not recognize what conservatives face when it comes to House and Senate movement of bills and how they're passed. Speak to that issue for a moment about what you went through trying to get this bill through, and the response and the rebuttal and the rejection that you faced with it.
Yes. Well, Dr. Youngblood, first of all, it was not given a committee hearing. It was stopped by the committee chairman. This was on the House side at that time, which was Representative James Grant. He would not give it a committee hearing. When I asked him why, he said because it was too controversial, that it would create too much of a turmoil and it would be a distraction. And I tried to counter with, what we are talking about is preserving our history. Why is that controversial? And again, what he was doing, he and others were listening to this small minority, which is very vocal and radical. And it's what we are seeing now out of Jacksonville. And here's the thing that he doesn't recognize, and a lot of others also don't recognize, even with this whole nonsense we're seeing with this situation with George Floyd, is that whenever you give in to the left, to the radical left, when you give in to them either intellectually or physically, they are never satisfied. They will want more even after you have done what they've requested, because they're insatiable in what they want to do in terms of destruction and trying to remake things of what they want. Now, unfortunately, Mayor Lenny Curry succumbed to those who are radical and vocal and took down the statue. But here is the bigger issue why he did that. He didn't do it just because Black Lives Matter was there. They've been there for a number of years now. The reason why he did it is because the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Shad Khan, who is a very wealthy man and is also a supporter of Lenny Curry so far, and Lenny Curry wants to go continue his political career, whatever that might be. And those who are hungry for a political career know that it takes money to continue a political career. And he knew that if he no longer had the financial support of the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, that his political career could be in jeopardy. That's why he did this.
That is the thing that is so egregious. And I'm looking at article after article in relationship to that. One headline says, Confederate statue removed from the park overnight. Others in Jacksonville are also coming down. Dateline Jacksonville. The city of Jacksonville's inventory for Confederate memorials lists three monuments and eight markers on the city property related to Civil War. As of Tuesday morning, there's one less, and Mayor Lenny Curry said that others are coming down too. Goes on to talk about what had taken place. And you touched on that about Shad Khan and the Jaguars. Further in this article, it says the change was unannounced and came ahead of the peaceful protest led by Jaguars running back Leonard Fortunati, and rapper Little Duval that started outside the city hall at 10 a.m. and marched to the Duval County Courthouse. By the way, in the Jaguar that spoke, and I watched it online, Leonard Fortunati, he had a speech that was laced with profanities, vulgarities, and denigrated remarks. And yet the mayor and our sheriff stood there listening with a smile. And then the mayor, when he started speaking, basically the crowd were screaming out demands. And he said, "I hear you, I hear you." And then they joined in the Black Lives Matter march from the city hall to the courthouse building. And Lenny Curry made this statement: "I evolved on the importance of the issue. I've heard people absolutely. If our opinions and our policies don't evolve, then we're not growing and we're stagnant. So I evolved," said Curry. "We've got to find ways to come together. We're not going to agree on everything. That's just not human history, human nature. We've got to find a common ground." But the problem is, Congressman, this does not give him legal authority, as I understand it. Speak to that issue of legal authority. Is there a legal authority that controls our statutes and our monuments from a federal or national level?
On the federal level, monuments cannot be removed if they are on federal land. So if they're on federal land, they cannot be touched. If they are on state or private property, private property, of course, is protected. But if they are on state property, then yes, right now they actually can be removed. And that's why my legislation was so important to stop that from happening. Now, the mayor himself did not have legal authority to make that decision on his own. He simply did not. It should have been taken up with the city council. It should have been debated publicly. And those in attendance from both sides of the issue should have had a chance to speak. It sounds like that Mayor Curry only listened to a very small vocal part of the population. As I understand it, the vast majority, over 90% of the population in Jacksonville, do not want it removed. So why would he succumb to a very small percentage of the population? And it's because, as I said, Pastor Youngblood, it's a shame. It's because of the lust for political power and the money behind that. That's why he gave into it. It's not popular with the vast majority of our population to remove those statues.
It is not under the guidance and direction of what would be called even the Florida Sunshine Law, where debates and decisions on things that affect the people, the citizens, should be discussed. Congressman, I've got in my on my desk and before me something about Congress, an act by Congress in 1957. For the benefit of the public, I think you're familiar with it, but for the benefit of the listeners, I'm going to read portions of it, then I've got a question. "Confederate soldiers, sailors, and Marines that fought in the Civil War were made U.S. veterans by an act of Congress in 1957. U.S. Policy Law 85-425, Section 410, approved May 23rd of 1958. This made all Confederate Army, Navy, Marine veterans equal to U.S. veterans. Additionally, under the Public Law 810, approved by the 17th Congress of 26 February 1929, the War Department was directed to erect headstones and recognize Confederate gravesites as U.S. War Dead gravesites. Just for the record, the last Confederate veteran died in 1958. When you remove the Confederate statue, monument, or headstone, you are in fact removing a statue, a monument, or headstone of a U.S. veteran. 18 U.S. Code 1369, destruction of veterans' memorials. Whoever, in a circumstance described in subsection B willfully injures or destroys or attempts to injure or destroy any structure, plaque, statue, or other monument on public property, didn't say federal, public property, commemorating the services of any person or persons in the armed forces of the United States shall be fined under the title, imprisoned not more than 10 years, or both. And then it goes on to talk about in subsection B as to what the offense would be and what connotes that offense. So clarify something for my edification and perhaps for our listeners. Is it possible that there's some old statutes from the standpoint of federal law, notwithstanding that it was on city property and not state or federal property, is there a potentiality that our mayor has violated a section or subsection of the federal statute in relationship to these monuments?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, you corrected me, and I appreciate that. Yes, under that U.S. Code 1369, it does say on public property that if it is to be removed, injured, or destroyed, that there is to be a penalty for that, which could be imprisoned for up to 10 years and also fined for. So someone needs to bring to Mayor Curry's attention that he has just broken law and that he needs to return that statue back to its proper place and not to remove any others. I call upon Mayor Lenny Curry to do that right now. If he hears my voice, I am suggesting to him that you have broken the law and that you could have charges brought before you.
I am concerned about it. In fact, for our listeners to understand, I've sent a copy of this statute to Jason Gabriel, which is the chief general counsel for the city. I've sent it to many of the city councilmen. I've sent a copy of it to the mayor and to the sheriff, asking them to listen up and determine if some violation has taken place. I believe that it's incumbent upon citizens to take a stand when we see leadership in a city or state or a nation that's going awry and going against what the statutes or the laws call for. And I think what is happening is we're finding a major upheaval in America as a result of Black Lives Matter. And as a result of that, we're finding mayors and governors and representatives on the state and federal level that are buckling and bowing. And as you said so correctly and aptly earlier, that you start giving in, there's no giving in, end to the giving in, because there seems to be a push to even do more. Speak to the issue, if you would, Congressman, also, where Black Lives Matter is demanding now that law enforcement, that we defund police departments and law enforcement. What is the idea behind that, and where will it place us as a nation?
Well, that, first of all, that is a radical idea that is short-sighted and will not work. And we need to back up just a little bit to Dr. Youngblood. Black Lives Matter is not just some spontaneous group of people who have gotten together. They are funded by George Soros and by the Clinton Foundation, the same ones who fund Antifa. They have put together this so-called Black Lives Matter movement, and they are nothing more than a radical terrorist organization. That is their mode of operation, is to terrorize those who are around them to succumb to their demands and whims. So we need to get to the source of this, and I was so pleased that President Trump announced that Antifa is a terrorist organization, and after the break I'll tell you why. But he also needs to name Black Lives Matters as a terrorist organization.
Absolutely. Hang on to that thought, Congressman. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take 1 minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back with Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.